never forget who you are, Zelda Alana Nohansson. Zelda closed her eyes as she recalled her last conversation with Impa. She took a breath, fighting back the urge to sob. Grief clenched like an icy fist around her heart as she thought of the woman who was like a mother to her, Impa. She meant everything to Zelda, and now she was gone. No, Zelda thought, a part of her screaming in denial at the truth she desperately wanted to deny. She can't be dead. She clenched her fingers around the piece of paper in her hand. The parchment contained a message, Impa's final note. It told her what happened the night the village was raided, and how to proceed should Impa fail to contain the evil within the Shadow Temple. Zelda bowed her head, struggling to keep her emotions. She would have retreated to meditate rather than risk being seen in the state, but she tried that. They were so close. All Zelda had to do was to find the last sage with Link's help. Then, they could prepare their final strike. Only the Shadow Medallion was needed, the same amulet that Zelda had entrusted to Halvard's care. The other medallions were in Zelda's possession. During her brief trip back to the Desert Colossus, she had retrieved Nobu's amulet shortly after the woman went to the Sacred Realm. When Zelda returned from her short debrief, the Zora gave her Rudo's medallion along with their condolences on Impa's death. A part of her still refused to believe Impa was dead. Try as she might, Zelda couldn't deny the truth. The escape of the Shadow Demon, the Necromancer, only meant one thing. Impa was gone. She would have done everything within her power to stop the Necromancer from leaving his prison. Impa's letter explained that she'd gone to the Shadow Temple. Before Kakariko could rally and fight back, the Necromancer managed to kidnap almost half of the village's inhabitants. After her debrief with their commander, the few remaining members of the Queen's Banner who knew Impa had offered Zelda their condolences, but she barely heard them. To them, veiled in her chic in disguise, Zelda was just Impa's student, and her eventual successor as the Sheikah leader. Except there were no Sheikah left. Zelda was the last Sheikah, or at least Sheik was, and would be until the day Zelda finally removed her mask. Halvard might have taken Impa's position, however doubtful that might have been, but the last anyone had seen of him was when he arrived and taken off to the Shadow Temple to find Impa. When he failed to return, the commander of the Queen's Banner sent some of his band after him. Now, they too were amongst the missing. Goddesses, we were so close. Of course, Zelda would tell Link what happened when he finally woke up, but she considered leaving out the fact that Impa and Halvard were presumed dead. She couldn't have the boy hero acting like a scared hound. In fact, she hoped he was over that. She couldn't blame Link given the circumstances. He'd been robbed of his childhood, and all because of the cruel hand fate had dealt him. The very thought of it made Zelda sick with revulsion. It was partly because of her that Link would bear more scars than the ones marring his flesh. She had destroyed his life. He's not a boy anymore, Zelda reminded herself. He's a man, one of the last of your kin, and the hero of time. Rauru was her only other kinsman, but illegitimate as he was, nobody recognized him as a member of the royal household. Of those who knew of his true identity, only Zelda and Halvard remained. It was very unlikely that Rauru would ever agree to the idea of being recognized as the rightful heir of Hyrule's crown, though he argued that his past was well behind him. Zelda was certain that the memory of how he'd been treated by the royal family still pained him. He had essentially been swept aside, an embarrassment kept out of the eyes of the court, lest he shame the Nohansson name. He had essentially been swept aside, an embarrassment to be kept out of the eyes of the court, lest he shame the Nohesin name. In a way, keeping out of the court's scrutiny had kept him alive. There was one other person who could take the throne should Zelda fail, and she was still far away. It had been a year since Zelda had seen her. It was painful, but Zelda knew she had to keep her as far from her own thoughts as possible. If Ganondorf ever found out, Zelda's chest tightened, sharp daggers digging deeper into her core. The memories of what she saw inside the Spirit Temple weren't helping. Was this the legacy she'd leave? Not, but a shattered kingdom forever lost in a great cataclysm? Feeling her heart beat slow, she opened her eyes again, beholding a scene of desperation. Along Kakariko's wall, banners fluttered in a wind that carried the scent of ash and burning flesh. The undead had struck there as well, spreading panic, destroying supplies, burning tents, and slaying scores of soldiers. It was bedlam. Nobody was expecting an attack to come from inside of their camp's confines. Zelda sighed. She wasn't going to find any solace here. Eventually, somebody was going to wonder if she was ill. Her gaze wandered to the path towards the graveyard, a part of her clinging to the slim hope that Impa would appear at any moment. She'd even be happy to see Halvard, despite the misgivings she had about him. If it had been for Impa's reassurance, she would never have trusted the man. If it hadn't been for Impa's reassurance, she would never have trusted the man. His fascination with malevolent and powerful objects was both troubling and an invitation for disaster. Zelda looked out at the Black Tower, then at the armies spread around the valley. The banners continued to flutter, bearing the Nine Kingdoms' colors and sigils. Seven of those armies would ride out to surround Castletown in the evening, their sorcerers still hoping to break the barrier protecting the fallen city. The nearest tent to Kakariko bore a banner with a red lion and a phoenix emblazoned upon its blue fabric, the house sigils of Harkonnen and Nohansen. Further afield, flags of gray and white mark the Mithrin's camp. Griffins, naught but pinpricks from Zelda's vantage point, were led by through the camp by their keepers. Zelda's eyes strayed to another tent where a steady stream of healers came and went. She admired them. They hadn't slept much the last 2 days, yet they kept going as best they could to aid the wounded. She'd taken a moment to visit them and wander in the mist, her heart aching as people wondered where the queen was. She knew some of them considered her a coward for hiding. It took all her strength to keep quiet and her face straight as she walked by with an air of feigned confidence. "Your queen has not forgotten you. She is closer than you know." Zelda was not yet queen, but that hadn't stopped the people of Hyrule from calling her that. Nearly everyone believed she was living her days in exile, though they could not decide on where. Zelda wished she could remove her mask, to be rid of this veil and not be burdened by walking among shadows and secrecy. It would be foolish, especially since she had managed to stay hidden this long. The two witches might have figured out her secret, but they weren't alive anymore. Revealing herself would invite any of Ganondorf's hired assassins to kill her, or use a portal stone to carry her into the usurper's hands. She surveyed the men on the wall, her expression grim. Everyone was tense, wary eyes directed at the sky or towards the distant horizon. They were well away from the Kokiri's groves, for the forest guardians protected their ancient glens fiercely. Despite reassurances from the great Deku Tree's descendant, Zelda still worried that something might invoke their wrath. She didn't need that on top of the problem she already faced, and that was without taking into account the ramifications of her alliance with the Gerudo. Earlier that morning, Avil's emissary had arrived as promised, bearing white flags and flanked by a large escort. Zelda had surprised by their promptness, not thinking that they might have already received Vale's message. Yet they come, seeking a meeting with Zelda's council. Their emissary was nearly thrown into a cell, but Zelda managed to step in before that can result in a diplomatic incident. Instead, she had them escorted to a tent where the Queen's council assembled. She was the only one who wasn't surprised by the Gerudo's request for an alliance. The rest of the council was a different matter. "An alliance," Toru sputtered. It was a wonder he didn't swear. The reactions from the 6 council members, including General Toru, were not surprising. Zelda knew Gandorf tricked his people, but this was unlikely to elicit any sympathy from her council or any of the nobles within the Alliance's army. She passed a letter bearing Avail's own signature around the table, watching as each council member read it. Their expressions quickly turned sour, and everyone began speaking at once. They argued, and mentions of treason and heresy quickly went flying. Predictable, Zelda thought. Only the Gerudo emissary remained quiet, sipping a cup of tea and looking calm and controlled. This only seemed to annoy several of the lords even further. When several council members rounded on her, declaring that she did not speak for the queen, Zelda felt her temper flare. "I am your queen, you lummox," she thought irritably, growing impatient with this display. "This is madness," one man decried. "Have you taken leave of your senses? Did you forget that it was the Gerudo who murdered King Nohansen and his family? You insult their memory, Sheikah." That comment struck a savage blow, and Zelda almost blanched. Her cold stare burnt holes in the man's coat, and he swallowed, realizing his error. Toru looked livid, and the Gerudo emissary, Farida, was staring at the offending lord with keen interest. She could have been watching a theater performance for all the concern she showed. There was a flurry of discontented murmurs, and yet Zelda ignored them. "You would do well to remember that it was Nohansen's desire to seek peace with his enemies. To deny them this chance would be an insult to his memory. Also, be a fine chance for them to stick a knife in us while we're sleeping," someone else muttered. Zelda ignored him too, her eyes fixed on Fenn. "Please," Fenn scoffed. "The Gerudo were brainwashed? So you told us, but that doesn't change what they did." "You're right," Zelda agreed, earning a wary glance from Farida. "This doesn't change what happened, but given the circumstances, they deserve a chance to help us. We need their help if we're to win this. Otherwise, Gandorf will pick each of us off one by one. He is still capable of that, as you have learned these past few nights." A babble of arguing broke out until Toru slams his hands on the table. "That's enough," he yelled. The bickering quickly ceased, and all eyes turned to him, expressions ranging from shock to strong disapproval. Zelda's lips thinned. Toru knew he was supposed to behave more diplomatically around the other council members. Toru's face was grim. There were dark shadows beneath his bloodshot eyes, and he sounded exhausted. He wore the colors of the Queen's banner with the red line emblazoned on his breastplate. His armor was in an abysmal state, marred with dents and scratches. "Don't tell me you agree with this load of moblin trash. An alliance with these heathens," Lord Fenn rasped, gesturing at Farida, who bristled like an angry cat. It was a good thing, Zelda thought, that she had ordered the majority of Farida's guards to remain outside. Otherwise, things might have turned nasty. She was about to reprimand Lord Fenn when, to her surprise, someone beat her to it. "Lord Fenn, you would do well to remember that with the untimely loss of Lady Impa, Sheik speaks for the Queen," Toru said, his voice calm but threatening. He pointed at a letter on the table, supposedly written by Zelda and delivered to Sheik. Zelda would have laughed if someone had accused her of forging the Queen's letter. If she chooses to accept the Gerudo's request, then so do I. Zelda tilted her head, uncomfortable with how close Toru came to revealing her secret. Only he knew who she was, and to the rest, she was just Zelda's advisor. Nobody else seemed bothered by her, and instead they proceeded to bicker amongst each other. When the bickering finally came to a close, almost the entire council consented to the alliance. Some took their time adding signatures to Zelda's own, hesitant when Quills touched the parchment. When it was Fenn's turn to add his signature, he refused to give it. Instead, he denounces Zelda's proclamation of a peace treaty as both reckless and outrageous, before storming out of the tent. Farida rode away with her escort, along with some of Impa's own guard, bearing the terms of Zelda's treaty. When that arduous meeting finally came to a close, Zelda left the tent and went to the Dancing Goron Inn. The building looked disheveled these days, with paint peeling from shuttered windows and dust accumulating on the walls. Link was only beginning to stir hours after the necromancer had attacked him. Zelda had left him in the care of three people who knew him well enough and slipped away to get some privacy. That wasn't going to happen, sadly. She saw Toru walking towards her. The sentries, some of whom were nodding off to sleep, stood erect, saluting him as he walked by. "I wasn't sleeping, sir," one man announced. "I was just resting my eyes a little." "You'll get all the rest you want if something sticks an arrow in you," Toru growled. "You're not the only one who'd rather be elsewhere right now, but we all have tasks to do, and that includes you." "Of course, sir," the man stammered apologetically. "It won't happen again." "Good." Apparently satisfied, Toru continued his steady stride towards Zelda. "My lady, I've been looking for you. You're near impossible to find at the best of times, you know that?" "You have something for me?" Zelda asked. "There is news from the company I sent into the Shadow Temples." That immediately got Zelda's attention. Her eyes met his, and she knew from his haggard and drained expression that it wasn't good news. "What is it?" she asked, dreading the answer. "One of the men returned," Toru admitted, his voice grave. "I don't know what happened to him, but he was babbling like a madman." Toru shook his head as if unable to believe what he said. "He didn't want anyone near him, and just about took out one man when they tried getting his knife off of him." "Was anyone else hurt?" "No. We knocked him out." Zelda shot him a questioning glare. "We didn't injure him," Toru continued. "Well, not permanently. Bloody ashes. The man has seen some horrible things the last few years, but to lose it like that. The look in his eyes could have frightened a re-dead. He was yelling something about disembodied hands trying to strangle him." Zelda had a few ideas as to what might have caused that, none of them pleasant. "Where is he now?" she asked. "With the healers. I doubt there's much they can do." Silence fell as they stared towards the Black Tower in the distance. There was a translucent, dome-like barrier surrounding the structure, which shimmered and rippled like water. Dozens of mages were working to try and dispel it. They worked in shifts so that nobody killed themselves from drawing too much magic. So far, nothing they did worked. "If you don't mind me asking," Toru asked. Zelda didn't mind him dropping formality so long as nobody else was in earshot. "What in the flaming hell are the Sheikah keeping inside that temple?" "I don't know," Zelda said. She knew it was nothing pleasant. Impa never spoke of what was inside, and avoided most of Zelda's questions. It was very unlike Impa to do that, and Zelda sensed a tinge of fear in her mentor's voice whenever the Shadow Temple was mentioned. If Impa was frightened by it, Zelda shuddered to think what other evils it held besides the necromancer. Even before Hyrule fell, there were few records within Hyrule's libraries on the Sheikah or the Shadow Temple. Somebody, or rather, something, had destroyed every single volume and scroll detailing the last 300 years of Sheikah history. She did know that the Shadow Temple had once been known by a different name. The Necromancer had turned it into a prison to both humiliate and discourage the rebel Sheikah. Few who went inside, save the wardens, were ever heard from again. Those that did were given over to their kin, who quick realized that something was horribly wrong. It was a cruel and brutal act. The freed prisoners were devoid of everything that made them who they were. They didn't recognize their family, not even their own children, and appeared completely insane. Many chose to slay the Necromancer's victims rather than let them suffer, while others cast them into the streets, where they either starved or died from exposure. The rebel Sheikah's morale suffered from the devastating blow, and it nearly crushed them. In the end, the prison's creator became the imprisoned. Impa didn't think the Necromancer had always been evil. Something, possibly even experimenting with shadow magic, had corrupted him. Doesn't seem like a wise move going down there without knowing what you're up against. If you don't mind my saying so, Toru commented. If the legends are true, there isn't much of a choice, Zelda said quietly. The blessing of Nehru will protect me. She glanced down at her hand absentmindedly, as the scar, the mark of the goddesses, tingled. Given the proximity of one of its two counterparts, she wasn't surprised by its slight discomfort. Aye, so you've said, Toru remarked. Forgive me if I do not share your faith in the goddesses, my queen. Despite the people's pleas for their blessings, they haven't exactly stopped Ganondorf from trying to wipe Hyrule off the mat. He gestures toward the distant barrier, impeding the way to Ganondorf's tower. We have no idea what is waiting for us beyond those walls, nor how to get that barrier down. Zelda knew Toru was not a particularly religious man, nor did she blame him. He had lost almost everything, as had so many of his countrymen. He wouldn't take kindly to any sympathetic words, so she tilted her head and listened. When Zelda didn't respond, Toru sighed, looking more tired than she had ever seen him. The goddesses hadn't abandoned them, or so Zelda willed herself to believe. But their aid came at a terrible price for those who wielded their power. Some called it a curse, no doubt inspired by old tales of a demon who long ago began the wretched cycle to which Link, herself, and Ganondorf were bound. I guess I'm not talking you out of this madness, Toru said, pitch gruff. Zelda didn't mind his tone. Damn it, what if something happens to you in there? I have no doubt Impa will kill me in whatever afterlife awaits us. He bowed his head, face somber. You really think she's gone? Zelda never doubted her mentor's ability to survive. Impa had lived through two wars before this one. The Sheikah Chisholm and the Gerudo Rebellion. Two events which had boiled over into the Hundred Year War. As much as I don't want to believe it, Zelda said, fighting to keep any emotion out of her voice. I don't think the Necromancer would have kept her alive. She rebelled against him and sealed him in the Shadow Temple after all. The words left a bitter taste on her tongue. It was almost as if Zelda was admitting the very truth she fought so hard to deny. I'm sorry, Toru said, his voice quiet. As am I, Zelda replied. She fought against the feelings constricting around her chest, breathing becoming difficult. Toru's arm twitched, as though he had been about to place a comforting hand on her, but he thought better of it. It would not be proper etiquette to do so. Not that it mattered when she was clothed in her Sheikah garbs. I must check on Link. Hopefully he is awake now, Zelda announced pleasantly. I don't intend to wait much longer before entering the temple. Be careful, Toru told her. Always. Zelda looked back at the sun, which was nearly reaching its zenith. Link better be awake now. If he wasn't, Zelda would find some means of getting him out of bed. The undead will return at nightfall, and unless they were stopped soon, the final strike on Ganondorf's tower would be over before it even began. She left the wall, wandering amongst the houses towards the Dancing Gorn Inn. People watched her from windows, many eyeing her with fear. They blamed the Sheikah for the trials they have suffered the last two nights, and for the kidnapping of over half the village. A few confident souls strayed out of their homes, begging news regarding their loved ones. Zelda's heart ached as she heard their desperate pleas. It pained her deeply to usher them away. It pained her even more to maintain a cold and stoic exterior, which earned her a fair share of angry and hurt looks. I can't falter now. As she approached the stables, Zelda's heart lifted as the sight of a familiar horse with a rust-colored coat and silver mane. Her tail looked like it had been docked. She couldn't recall how it gotten so badly scorched in the first place. "Epona!" Zelda exclaimed. "Where'd you come from?" Epona buzzed her lips and neighed in recognition. Link's mare hadn't been seen since last night. Zelda was half afraid he might insist on looking for her before venturing into the Shadow Temple. She barely noticed the lanky man with the greasy mustache leaning against a pitchfork, a pair of small beady eyes watching her. She glanced down the road. The streets were almost empty, except for one person coming out of Impa's house. Zelda looked at Epona and then did a double take. Someone was leaving Impa's house. Zelda caught a glimpse of them before they took off down the road, slipping around the corner of a building. In that fleeting glance, she recognized who it was, and her mind reeled with confusion. There was no mistake, for she would have recognized that figure in his trademark tunic anywhere. He carried a sack, but that wasn't the detail she caught most of all. A chill ran through her. There was no doubt about it. The tunic was the exact same design as Link's. There was just one difference. It was jet black.